announcement that Pastor Corey forgot to make, and that is starting tomorrow morning, Pastor Corey and I are starting a weight loss program called I Don't Wear No 3X. So if you want to join us for that, you're welcome to. maybe we should pray. Lord God, thank you for the gift of this day, for joy and laughter, for the ability to come and worship you in spirit and in truth and in freedom. Lord God, we pray that you would help us now in this time to focus on you, your word before us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive the gift of your good news for us today. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My dad turned 83 back in February this year, and he grew up in the church. In fact, he went to the church school. He was regular in worship at the church that he worshiped at every Sunday. But then at the age of 18, following high school, he went and volunteered, enlisted in the Navy during the Korean War. After the war, he didn't worship, he didn't pray much, he certainly didn't read his Bible. In fact, growing up, there are years when I was young that I remember my dad really didn't go to church or have anything to do with God at all. Later, when I was old enough to understand, I asked my father, "Dad, why were you out of church for so long?" And he said to me, "Well, I grew up in the church, Steve, but I did things in the war that the church teaches against. And it made me afraid of what God would do." And he said in all honesty that he believed that God couldn't love him anymore because of the things he had done. Wow. My dad was afraid of God, which pushed God away. He came to believe and understand through a different expression of faith. That was a Lutheran church. He didn't grow up Lutheran. But he came to understand and appreciate through the Lutheran church and a particular pastor, Pastor Norm Rigg was his name, now deceased, that God loved him in spite of what he had done by grace. When my dad was able to put away this ungodly fear against God, he found the God who loved and appreciated and welcomed him no matter what he had done. That's what we're talking about today. Ungodly fear. Not fear of God. Pastor Corey introduced us to this topic of fear last week. This is not fear of God. This is fear against God. Ungodly fears are those fears which make hiding from God more desirable than running to him. I'll say that again because this is really important that we understand. Ungodly fears are those fears which make hiding from God more desirable than finding God or running to him. There are several of these fears. We heard several of them recounted for us as we heard Kathy read this morning. The first is this fear, ungodly fear, that drives a person away from God. This kind of fear makes us want to hide from him. And we heard the fear of Adam and Eve. This isn't a new story for those of us who grew up in the church, But for those of us who didn't, Genesis chapter 3 is the story, the historical record of the fall of humankind. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are parallel accounts of creation. And then in Genesis chapter 3, it didn't take long for humanity to sin and fall away from God. But you can imagine in the Garden of Eden, before sin, God and Adam and Eve communicating and relating with each other. God would walk through the garden. They would have conversations perhaps in the afternoon. Maybe they rose to a morning like this. And not only did they see the sun, but no, there was God himself, because there was no enmity between them. They could be in a holy relationship. But then sin entered in, and Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and they understood because they had experienced both good and now evil through sin. And then in verse 8, then the man and his wife, after the sin, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This was normal for them, but their response wasn't. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. This was new. Sin entered in, and now all of a sudden, they don't only have fear of God, but now fear against God. They recognize, hey, wait a minute, we're naked. And so we need to hide from God. And God says, what are you doing? He had already known they had sinned, and their sin now has led them to hide from the Lord their God. We have that same feeling in our own lives sometimes, that we hide because of our sin. But more realistically, I think for us, we experience and practice this second fear, and that is fear that pushes God away. In our gospel account, we hear of the call of the first disciples, Simon and Andrew's brother, Peter, later he's named, and then Peter or Simon's partners, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. There they are. They've had a whole night of fishing with no success. They're cleaning their nets. Their boats are on the shore. They've given up. We're done. And then this rabbi, this teacher comes. He's recognized as a master or teacher or a rabbi because that's what Simon calls him. But they don't really, we presume, have a relationship yet with Jesus. And this guy now, this teacher, comes upon them and says to them, by the way, these are fishing experts. These are the pros. Jesus says to the pros, he's precocious enough to say to them, let's go back out there and try again. Can you imagine how they feel? Who's this guy? You can hear the side conversations, right? All right, here we go. Another rabbi who knows everything about fishing. They set out their boats. He says, cast your nets. And you hear Simon's response. He doesn't hide his response because he doesn't hide anything. And he says to Jesus, fine, we'll throw out these nets. And the presumption is not because it's going to do any good, but why? Because you said so. We'll do it. We'll do it to appease you. And so they throw out the nets. And what happens? Well, not only does Simon catch his fill, but he calls his partners, grab your boat and your net. This is crazy fishing. They come out, they load both boats up to the point that they are about sinking, at which point Simon Peter goes before the Lord. Verse 8. Simon Peter saw this happening, and he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He recognized in Jesus, by this miraculous work, that Jesus had the power and the authority of God, that Jesus was holy and he was not. And it made him afraid. It made Simon Peter afraid. Go away from me. Fear against God pushes God away. Don't come near me. You'll be defiled. I'm unclean. I'm not holy, and you are. And by the way, this is a very typical and human response, isn't it? I don't know about you, but there are many days in life that I feel like pushing God away. I wake up thinking, why, God, do you have anything to do with me? I'm a sinful man. And yet you call me. And yet you look past my sin. In fact, not only do you look past my sin, but Jesus, you made it possible on the cross that you could look past my sin. But you see, that's the point. Pastor Corey next week will be talking about godly fear. Ungodly fear looks at sin and says, I'm unworthy. But the point is, we are unworthy. That's the point. The reality is that when we wake up and think to ourselves, I'm unworthy, that's the exact truth of the thing. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means that Jesus went to the cross to die for us. We ought to wake up every day thinking to ourselves, I'm unworthy. Otherwise, Jesus went to the cross for no reason. That would be a shame. And so sin that pushes God away is ungodly sin. Number three, fear that avoids the Lord's anger is ungodly fear. This is the kind of fear that keeps God off our backs. Now, I don't know about you, but I have heard on many occasions from people who are not actively involved in church something like this when I invite them to come join us. I say to them, so you're not active in a church, well, why don't you come join us on Sunday morning? And they say something like, oh, you don't want that, Pastor. Well, why not? I just asked you to come. Well, then if I show up and, you know, don the doors of your church, you better be standing far away from me. Well, why would I stand far away from you? Well, because I'm pretty sure God will smite me with lightning, and you don't want to be near that. Have you heard something like that? That's crazy. What are you talking about? God will smite you with lightning. Now listen, if that happens, I'll change my theology. And it'll be kind of cool. But it's not going to happen. God will not smite you if you show up to worship. God will not strike you with lightning because you haven't been in church or because of the things you've done. No, that's ungodly fear. If you have your Bibles with you, why don't you turn back a little bit from Luke? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. This is a parable. A parable is a story with a point that Jesus told the disciples about the kingdom of God. Matthew 25 is about the kingdom of God. These are kingdom of God parables. And then in verse 14, Jesus begins this way. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. What's it? The kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with the 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought another 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then, verse 24, the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So, listen to this, verse 25. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. So the first two are not afraid of the master. They take the risk to invest the money. They might lose it, but they take this risk because they want to use this money to multiply. But because of fear, this third servant said, I'm just going to bury it. Here's how the master replies, verse 26. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. And then verses 28 through 30, the master condemns this man and throws him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The summary of that is, it's a bad place. You hear what happens here? Because of fear, this man does not invest what God has given him. And oftentimes, because of fear, we don't invest our lives in the kingdom of God. Maybe because we think God will smite us when we walk through church. Maybe we think that if we go out on a limb and fail, that God will be disappointed with us. But the reality is God wants us to try, to work hard, and not allow fear to get in the way. And then lastly, so fear that drives a person away from God is ungodly. Fear that pushes God away is also ungodly. Fear that avoids the Lord's anger is ungodly. And lastly, fear that faith isn't enough is ungodly fear. And by the way, this is a part of the human condition. We all fall at one time or another into this fear in particular. This kind of fear doesn't trust God through the person and work of Jesus Christ as all sufficient. Pastor Corey and I tend to call this cross plus. We look at the cross of Jesus, we hear the gospel of grace, that it is by grace through faith that you have salvation. But then, as if that's not enough, we add to it, well, it's the cross plus more Bible reading. It's the cross plus more service to the community that saves me. It's the cross plus whatever spiritual discipline you'd like to throw in there. And we don't truly receive God's grace as He offers it. Yesterday, I did a memorial service for a longtime member of Richland Lutheran, Carol Ramsas. Carol died of a disease that took her life really quickly. And I remember about a year ago when Carol was first diagnosed, she came to my office. Now, Carol was very faithful in worship, very faithful in practicing her faith. In fact, if you looked at Carol, you would think, gosh, I would like to be like Carol in my faith. What a model and a mentor of faith and discipleship. And yet Carol ended up in my office saying to me, Pastor, I don't know if I have enough faith for salvation. Wow. That's a difficult question to come and wrestle with. And I said to Carol, thanks for coming. And then I read from Mark chapter 9 about the man who had a son who was demon-possessed, and the son was always throwing himself down on the ground or in the fire or in the water that he might die. And the father came to Jesus and said, if you can, Jesus, will you help him? And Jesus says rhetorically, if I can, of course I can. He says, everyone who has belief will be saved, will be healed. And then the father responds in the way I encouraged Carol to respond, like all of us ought to respond when we think faith isn't enough or that our faith isn't enough. I said to her, respond like he did, because he said to Jesus, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus even makes up for us when we don't have enough faith. It's not us who are enough, it's Christ who is enough. And so we have to, when it comes to faith, believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And we don't have to do anything else to heap on to the work of Jesus because we're afraid that, well, it's not quite enough. You look at all of the other world religions except for Christianity. Every one of them, without exception, believe in something other than grace, works righteousness. Go ahead, search those faiths. Every single one believes in what the human person can do to save themselves, except for Christianity. We are unique in that way. And so fear that faith isn't enough is ungodly fear. And ungodly fear is fear against God, not fear of God. My dad spent many years away from God and his truth, and most importantly, away from his love and his grace. Can you imagine living that way because of ungodly fear? May he be an encouragement to us all this day that we don't have to fear God and hide from him, or fear God and push him away, or fear God's anger that he might smite us, or fear that faith, our faith in God, isn't enough. No, that's ungodly fear against him, not of him. Amen. Please stand now.